You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 8th of June 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we've got another news story to get into today that is concerned with the Muslim community, and it's quite concerning for them as well, this story, I think. More than half of Pakistani heritage marriages in Britain are between first cousins, and this is wreaking a terrible toll on public health, with stillbirths, birth defects, and disabilities far higher than they would otherwise be. And of course, this is awful for the people concerned, because nobody wants to have a disabled child by choice. But you've also got the cost to the National Health Service. There is a massive cost to this. And as we heard yesterday, some of these disabled children are being neglected by their parents. They're collecting the money that they get on the benefits and they're mistreating the children. So it's not just the cost in medicines and surgery and operations. It's the cost to the benefits system for the disabled benefits. And it's over half of Pakistani heritage marriages that are at risk of this happening because they are marriages between first cousins. In an article published by the Daily Mail, journalist Sue Reed described how an estimated 55% of Pakistani heritage couples are first cousins in so-called consanguineous marriages. Not coincidentally, British Pakistanis account for an astonishing 33% of birth defects in the country, far, far in excess of the proportion of births that they account for overall, according to Reed. British Pakistani couples are actually responsible for 3% of births overall in the UK, yet they account for a third, 33% of children with genetic birth defects. So they're 10 times more likely to have children with congenital diseases and birth defects than anybody else. And we're told diversity is a strength, that having these people here is a great strength for our country, when they're 10 times more likely to have children that are going to require looking after for the entirety of their lives, rather than actually being productive. Indeed, places in England with very large South Asian heritage populations, such as multicultural Bradford, appear to be paying a very heavy price for the practice, with doctors in one study identifying some 140 different gene disorders amongst local youngsters against only 20 to 30 among the general population. And I wonder how much there is just amongst the Pakistani population as opposed to the white population. How many different gene disorders are there amongst them? I mean, what have we got here? 20 to 30 amongst the general population. So seven times as much amongst the Pakistani community. And they're talking about it being the Pakistani community here because Britain has the largest Pakistani community in Europe, and out of the Muslim population in Britain, it's the Pakistanis that make up most of the Muslims in Britain. But it's actually a Muslim problem, isn't it? It's marrying the first cousin is something that is encouraged in Islam. So I would suspect that we have a similar issue to this in France, but obviously it would probably be, I don't know what it is in France. Is it Moroccans? I know it's the Moroccans in Holland that are the highest number of Muslims in the population, but I'm sure they're going to be having the same problem there. The Born in Bradford study found that half the city's babies born each year are to Pakistani heritage mothers. So if they're the majority in Bradford, just think about the number of disabled people there will actually be in Bradford. If they are actually the majority, and they may, just in the general population, they make up 33% of all the children with the genetic birth defect, saying that they're going to be making up 60 or 70%, maybe even 100%, or getting close to 100% of all the disabled people in Bradford are going to be from this one community. Two-thirds of these women are married either to first or second cousins, a fact which heightens the risk of their offspring dying or having disabilities. And of course, we're told that eugenics is a terrible thing, but if you had eugenics, this wouldn't be happening. If you had eugenics, people would be looking at their genes and they would be saying, well, it's not a good idea to marry this person, or it is a good idea to marry that person. And the whole idea of it is to prevent children from being born with these disabilities and not being able to live life to the fullest. I mean, really, you wouldn't want anybody to be born with mental illness or physical illnesses. You would try to do away with that. And yet we're told that that is a terrible thing. That is eugenics. That is what the Nazis did. But in actual fact, that is putting the children first. If you want to put children first, we should say, well, children should have a right to be born into a healthy body and with a healthy mind. And it just, in case they don't have that, we probably can't account for every factor, but we could at least do our best to make sure that children are born healthy. But we don't. We allow this to happen. I mean, they could change the law in Britain. They could say, well, it's illegal to marry your first or second cousin. But I'm sure that then there would be accusations of religious discriminations. There would be accusations of Islamophobia in the government, saying that this was targeting this one particular community because they marry their first or second cousins. But why would anybody want to do that to their children? Why would anybody want to take that risk? Somebody who is white would probably not take that risk in the first place. And yet these Pakistani Muslims do. We will hear why that is later on. But what we have is a dysgenic system, basically, isn't it? This multicultural part of Yorkshire is not the only place where baby deaths or illnesses are being blamed on close-kin marriage. Britain's second city, Birmingham, recently announced an emergency task force to investigate high levels of infant mortality after health and social care officials revealed deaths of newborns there are twice the national average. So they'll have a big investigation into this, and this will be a taboo subject because the fact is that the newborns that are dying, most of them are going to be Pakistani Muslims, and this is going to be the reason for it. And I'm surprised that we actually have a report that is out like this, because they would be far more likely to say, well, this is down to systemic racism. This is down to Pakistanis not being treated the same as everyone else. The white people hate the colour of the skin, so they don't give them high enough wages, and they have to live together. They don't get big enough council housing. And these are the sorts of excuses that we were given for why black and minority ethnics ended up catching coronavirus more than anybody else. So I am surprised that they are coming out and admitting that the reason why we have this high number of deaths of newborns is because of this first cousin marriage. While poverty and deprivation play a role in the crisis, there we go, of course, had to slip that in there, a fifth of all infant deaths are a result of genetic problems caused when cousins marry and have children, says a report from Birmingham City Council. Babies of Pakistani and South Asian heritage are disproportionately affected, with one in 188 stillborn compared to one in every 295 white babies. Now, another thing to be careful about with this is even the ones that do survive and that aren't disabled, they still carry those genes. The genes that their sibling has, which caused them to be disabled, they are still being carried around in the person who is not disabled. And if they end up getting a white partner, which is happening more and more often, we're seeing race mixing encouraged on the television in the adverts, and we see white women with non-white men, their babies could very well be disabled. Not because of they are first cousins, of course, but because the non-white partner carries these genetic defects within them. So we could end up seeing a rise of mixed race children in the country having these disabilities as well. And of course, they're not going to warn the white women about this. They're not going to warn the white women that if you have a Pakistani husband, there is a higher risk of you having a disabled child, because again, they will say that's Islamophobic, that's racist to point that out. But these are the implications. This is the implication of this report, as well as obviously the cost to the country in looking after them. Reid also highlighted the fact that stillbirths and infant deaths in the city are approaching double the national average, and many case studies of people with debilitating and presumably costly for Britain's taxpayer-funded National Health Service illnesses resulting from their parentage. Double the national average there. And this is a great strength. Diversity is a strength. Breitbart London reported back in 2017 that in Redbridge, a multicultural borough in Britain's hyper-diverse capital, almost one in five child deaths since 2008 were attributable to their parents being close relatives, with chromosomal, genetic or congenital abnormalities being a leading cause of death. If there was anything else that was killing children, they would make it illegal, wouldn't they? Why is it that this is legal? Why is it that this is encouraged? It's good that this report is being done and it's being spoken about, but it should never have been allowed to happen in the first place. The first duty of a government is to protect its citizens from harm. There is a strong argument down the road for it to consider whether first cousin unions should be outlawed in the same way as incest is, suggested Nazia Afzal, a prosecutor turned pundit who the media has often turned to for comment on the topic of now rarely covered majority Muslim rape gangs in the past. And I think he was the, is it the Crown Prosecutor? He used to work for the Crown Prosecution Service. Anyway, you often see him on the television being interviewed about things like this. So he's suggesting that there should be a law to ban this, and it's a good idea, basically, on the face of it. But I think they would get accused of racism and Islamophobia for doing it, because it's purely for this aimed at this community, because white people don't marry their first cousins. We are tired of burying our babies, suggested Afzal, whose own parents hail from Pakistan, adding that it is time to follow the science and act to save lives. Although in truth, it appears as though the problem is one of the Pakistani community's own making, with the British government only culpable insofar as it has done nothing to prevent the Pakistani community from indulging its collective penchant for first cousin marriages, which are in modern times well outside the norm for the native population and socially discouraged. So this is a fault of the Pakistanis. It's not a fault of the British government, but it is the indigenous British people that are paying for this. They're the ones that are paying the taxes for the National Health Service. And you can say, well, the Muslims are paying in as well. Yes, but 10 times as many of them are needing to claim from the health service and the benefit system as whites for their disabled children. So it doesn't balance out there at all, does it? Afzal, a practicing Muslim, said that in his view, the popularity of first cousin marriages amongst Pakistanis in Britain is down to greed and not religion. Well, if that's the case, then why is it that we also see this happening in other Muslim countries? Why if it's down to greed and not religion, why do we see it in Saudi Arabia? Why do we see it in Afghanistan? Is he implying that they are greedy there? Again, if it was a white person that was saying that, he would be accused of racism, saying that this entire group of people is greedy. He says they are arranged for material reasons, not because of religion. Families do not want to risk their gold by allowing their child to marry an outsider, he said. Some brothers betroth their boy or girl at birth to each other. Where is the choice of partner for their adult child? He demanded. Well, again, we know that arranged marriages go on in these communities. That is the tradition. That is their culture. We've invited them to Britain. We've told them that multiculturalism is great, and we've told them to celebrate their culture. And once again, we have an issue here where their culture is completely different to ours. And they, in actual fact, they are in conflict with one another, aren't they? If our culture teaches that you shouldn't have arranged marriage and their one teaches that you do, and of course this is when we get the problems with their children that are taught in our schools, and they're taught that arranged marriage is wrong, and when their parents try to arrange a marriage, they rebel against it, and they call the police up on their parents, and you end up with a broken family, and you end up with a Muslim family, a Pakistani Muslim family, that is really against the British state. And there are so many conflicts that arise between our culture and their culture. It's incredible that they can just repeat this mantra of diversity being a strength, and people go along with it when it's really obvious that it's not a strength, it's a weakness, whichever way you look at it. His stand is not only outspoken but brave, for criticism of cousin marriage is taboo amongst Pakistani and South Asian communities. Now, why is it that it is taboo? Why would they not talk about this? It has to be that it's a religious thing, isn't it? It has to be that it's encouraged religiously. Perhaps he doesn't want to say that, but you would think that they would bring this up because they've got so many children that have been born disabled, but they just refuse to accept the fact that the reason for it is because they're marrying their cousins. Mr. Afzal's critics have already told him his controversial remarks target disabled children. And again, this is the issue when you start talking about things like this. They'll say, well, you're targeting the Muslim community, or you're targeting these poor disabled children. Well, you're not, because you're trying to prevent children from being born disabled. And it's going to be difficult for the parents of these children, just as difficult as it is for the children. And it would be so simple to prevent it from happening. Just don't marry your cousins. But as he says, then they run the risk of losing the family fortune, and the family fortune gets shared out with another family. But if they were to encourage ethnic nationalism and encourage them to see the rest of their Pakistani brethren as their extended family, then it wouldn't seem so much as if they were losing their wealth, would it? If they were encouraged to see their extended kinship group as their extended family, and told, well, if you marry into them, you're not losing the money, are you? It's still there within the Pakistani community. Well, that might help. But of course, that's telling them that they're part of an ethnic community, and that is more where their loyalties should lie than to the British state, with this idea that they're British citizens. So it would clash with this idea that they're British to tell them that in actual fact they are Pakistani. They know they're Pakistani, of course. I mean, even these non-whites, they must be getting cognitive dissonance from these conflicting ideas that we're told we have to adhere to. Afzal insists that in 21st century Britain, the damage caused by these close kin marriages, which are taking place not just in Birmingham or Bradford, but all over the country, can be prevented. The problem is that babies born in cousin marriages can suffer what are called recessive genetic disorders associated with a severe disability and early death. These disorders are caused by variant genes. If you inherit one recessive variant gene, you will not fall ill or die. If, however, a child inherits the same variant gene from each of its related parents, it is at higher risk of a health problem. And that's the point that I was making earlier. These Pakistani Muslims that are actually okay and they're not disabled, they might still be carrying that recessive variant gene. And then if they partner up with somebody white, it means that their descendants, that white woman's children, might well have this variant gene. And then if they go on to find another non-white partner, and they could go on to have disabled children. So this encourages race mixing. It encourages race mixing as well, when you think about it like that. Because the non-white children are not going to want to run the risk of having a disabled child, so they're going to look for another white partner. And this recessive variant gene is just going to work its way down through the generations until everybody's non-white, and then we're in the same problem again, because everybody will have this recessive gene and the children that are born will be disabled. The likelihood of a couple both having the same variant gene is 100 to 1 in the general population. But they don't actually say here about whether that means the white population or whether that means the mixed white and non-white population in Britain. They just say that it's 1 to 100 in the general population. And in cousin marriages, that can rise to 1 in 8. Because people who are related to each other are more likely to carry the same faults in their DNA. And the problem only intensifies as cousin marriages continue generation after generation. Official figures for England, uncovered by the Mail in 2018, revealed cousin marriages are a key factor in an average of 2 child deaths every week. Distressingly, many surviving children of the couples involved have physical or mental problems. So what we need to have is racial hygiene then, isn't it? This is what racial hygiene is all about. It's all about trying to prevent child deaths. It's all about trying to prevent disability. The National Socialists were accused of hating the disabled, but what they were trying to do is prevent this from happening. This is why they had breeding programs. This is why people who had congenital disorders in their family were encouraged not to have children themselves. They were encouraged to adopt a child rather than create a child, because there was a high chance that if they created a child together, that the child would be disabled and it would be a burden on the family as well as a burden on the state. I mean, you think of the cost of this and how much that outweighs the cost of the white children in society. The issue of genetic problems being associated with cousin marriage is not even discussed when families lose a child or have a badly disabled baby. I mean, that's concerning, isn't it? Because you would think that the NHS might mention that to them, or they would mention it to them beforehand. You would think the imams, maybe they would mention it to them, but no, they don't even tell them that. These Muslim families that have had a disabled child or a stillbirth child, they end up finding this out from reading the Western newspapers. They don't get told about it themselves. As we heard earlier, it's a taboo subject amongst them. Worryingly, the number of children damaged by consanguineous marriage is predicted to increase as the birth rate in ethnic communities goes up. So you think about the number of disabled and stillbirths that they have in Birmingham. That's what the whole country is going to look like eventually with that sort of numbers. So we don't just have a problem with competing for jobs. We don't just have a problem with the Greenbelt being built on for new houses and queues at schools and queues at hospitals and waiting lists at hospitals. We also have this extra burden on the NHS and this extra burden on the benefits system, all to pay for this. This is before you even take into account the grief that is involved for these families And just the compassion that you end up having for them, it's depressing to see lots and lots of disabled children about, and to think that this is all coming from this one community here that we invited over here, and that we're told is somehow strengthening the country and making the country better. Is it all worth it? What do we get in exchange? Kebabs? Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.